This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the Hull Show. I am Brady Hull. That is Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, my friend, Happy New Year to you, my man. Always look forward to these conversations. Even though you put me off yesterday because you were a little busy talking to apparently people more important than me, I guess, right?
Well, it's my new boss.
So. I guess that would... Okay, you get a pass on that one, Mark.
We've got a new athletic director. I'm sitting here at basketball practice right now. We've got Utah coming to town tomorrow night, so a lot going on here in Buffland.
So I wanted to get your thoughts, too. Obviously, a nice bounce-back win for the Buffs on the basketball side of things. We'll talk about that in a moment. But new athletic director, Fernando Lovo. Obviously, it was an outstanding press conference. I always say this about press conferences. Everybody always kind of wins press conferences. Rarely do you see people lose them. But obviously, that was, pretty darn good as press conferences go.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I said yesterday that, it's an old advertising line. You only get one chance to make a first impression, and he hit a home run yesterday. I mean, he's a dynamic guy. He and I met in the morning, and we did an interview that was released a little bit later on in the day, and so we spent some time together and got a chance to talk. And, he's 37 years old, which, by the way, it struck me when I was talking to him, thinking to myself, boy, he looks young. And then I realized I was 37 when I took the job here and started doing Buff games. And so after I told him that, he goes, really? And I said, yeah, take a good hard look. This is what's going to happen to you after 22 years, right?
Mark, come on. You're still, you're still out there wrestling bears and doing all that stuff, man.
Yeah. But no, he's a very polished gentleman, very accomplished. His resume is fantastic. I'm sure you've talked about that, all the places he's been and what he's done. And so, very, very impressed. And then we had a staff meeting today. And, he got up and kind of addressed all of us that you're working in the athletic department. And it was the same thing today. And so, now he's got to get, hit the ground running and tackle all the challenges that we have in college athletics right now. But, very impressed right out of the gate. So, good hire so far.
Yeah, what kind of, I know you also caught up with him, for kind of a one-on-one interview, too.
Yep.
What's kind of maybe one or two things that really maybe blew you away a little bit? Not just the age thing, but from some of the things he's said to you personally.
Well, I don't know if I can specifically say one thing. Listen, we all know on the first day you're going to say, everyone, like you just mentioned, everyone's going to say similar things. It's like I always joke, I could do an opening press conference for a new football coach. They all say exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to be hard. We're going to play hard. We're going to be physical. We're going to be smart. We're going to be disciplined. They all say the same thing. So everyone says similar things. What I look more for in these circumstances, I watch how does a guy handle himself. He's obviously a very good communicator. He's very polished. And so I look for that. I watched. So then we had not only the interview that I did with them, and then some personal time with them, and then the press conference, and then I was at a social event with he and some boosters, and I watched, I'm just watching the way that he kind of handles himself, and the way he interacts and drifts between people and remembers names and those kind of things. Those are all very important skills you have to do that job. And so, those were things I was watching yesterday, and that's what really impressed me. Anybody who has ever been an athletic director or you've got a job where you're somewhat public, how you interact, what are your social skills like, what are your connecting skills like, and those are the things I was watching yesterday, and he does exceptionally well. Rick George was very good at that. And is very good at that. And so that's why he was successful in this job. And so, those are the things I was watching right away. Now we'll find out, in the ensuing months here about organizational skills, about fundraising skills, and all those kinds of things that are going to be hugely important for him.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. And isn't it fascinating for you, you know, who you followed this Buffs team, but you followed college sports for quite a while, and seeing how an athletic director's job has shifted, how it's changed. There's just more things on an athletic director's plate more than ever.
Well, you know, it's funny about it, brother. You think about it, and for any of your older listeners, you know, it was always a pretty you could pretty much assume what was going to happen. When Lady left, it was either the football coach or the basketball coach was going to move into the AD's position. And then that was for a long, long time. And then a number of years ago, you saw people come more from, you know, marketing, and then it was fundraising. And now it's become a totally different deal with NIL, with all that's going on, all the media rights deals. You better be well-versed in those aspects of college athletics. It's not so much, you know, can you go out and diagram a play on the football field like the, you know, AD's used to be involved in. That now it's totally different. And so you're right. That position has changed. The skill set needed has changed. And so it's a totally different world.
Moving on, Mark, you mentioned it on the Buff side of things on the Hoops edition tomorrow night, 7 o'clock against Utah. How big was that win over Arizona State, coming off of that loss that was frustrating for Buffs fans, for Ted Boyle? I know, even though we know the Bears are a good team, but still frustrating to bounce back and beat the Sun Devils 95-89 the other night.
Well, it was huge. And then the way in which they did it. First off, you do it on the road, right? No matter what, getting a road victory, in particular in conference play, is supremely important, in particular in the Big 12, where it's such a tough league. And, you know, if you can get, you know, they always say that what you want to do in any conference is you want to defend your home court and go 50-50 on the road. Well, that's an enormous challenge, obviously, in the Big 12. And so that was a game they had to have. They nearly let it slip away, but a young basketball team that made some gritty, tough, you know, physical plays down the stretch. And that's one thing. I'm out here practice right now, and you know, Dan Tony's guys about that very thing. But they made some big-time plays down the stretch to secure that victory. And so, you know, you hope there's growth that comes from that. And I think that's, you know, they're hoping to see that, certainly against Utah coming up tomorrow night.
Utah's kind of, what are your thoughts on Utah? Just kind of glancing at their schedule, I haven't watched any Utah basketball at all. But what stands out to you about this team that the Buffs better be ready for?
Well, they've got a couple of very good guards. They're outstanding. One of the guys averaged about 20, 21 a game. And so they're very backcourt heavy. Their front court's a little bit light at this point in time. And you know, when we were out there for football, I was talking with Bill Riley, their longtime play-by-play guy. I said, what are you expecting for basketball? He said, well, it's going to be a transitionary year. He said, I think we got a couple of guys in the backcourt be pretty good. And that's certainly the way it's turned out to be. And so that's going to be supremely important. So, you know, this game tomorrow night, a lot of pick-and-roll stuff, a lot of cutting to the basket. And so defensive rotation, defensive adhering to your defensive principles for Colorado are going to be huge. Pick-and-roll defense, those kind of things. And so that's going to be a big test, I think, coming up tomorrow night against Utah.
Well, yeah, you got to take care of business first against Utah, but then coming up on a couple days, a few days later, Texas Tech, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah. You got Mr. Moneybags coming to town, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're the ones spending all the money right now. Texas Tech spent over, what, $40-some million, their football team, and I think they're up around $8 or $9 million. They've got one guy in Toppin, you know, who was an outstanding player last year for them, who is making more in terms of what they're paying him than I think the entire Colorado roster. So think about that for
insane.
A second.
Insane.
The kind of money they're spending. Well, look what they just did with the quarterback from Cincinnati, you know, that he just transferred and just inked his deal with Texas Tech here, what, yesterday or the day before, and they're paying him $5 million. And so Texas Tech, that's one of the more surprising things, I think, Brady, we found out. In college athletics, we have found out the schools that really have resources. And I think one of the schools that nobody saw coming was Texas Tech. And they found a couple of billionaires that seem to want to bankroll this thing, and so they're spending money like crazy. They spent quite a bit of money on that basketball team.
It's fascinating when I see, you know, people getting online and saying, hey, you know, this certain program, they just don't have the resources to be able to keep these type of players. It all comes down to just what you said, getting lucky and finding those billionaires. That's your resources right there. How do you find billionaires that actually care whether your basketball team or football team wins a game?
Oh, exactly right. You know, I mean, look, you got the owner of the Utah Jazz is bankrolling BYU, right?
Yeah.
And I was talking with the coach, and I said, you know, I can't believe these guys will write a check for, you know, DeBanchta, for example, the outstanding freshman for BYU on the basketball court. They're paying him $7 million. And this coach I was talking to looked at me and says, Mark, if you're a billionaire, a $7 million check is not that big a check to write, you know, in comparison. Now, for you and me and everyone listening, that's ridiculous money. We can't even comprehend it. But he made a good point. He said, you know, that's you and me writing a check for $700. And so those kind of guys, we're finding out there are a number of them around the country who they seem to get a kick out of being able to bankroll these programs. I don't know if it makes them feel special or they feel connected or what it is, but give them some bragging rights. I'm not sure what it is, but boy, there are some guys out there, and Texas Tech has got one right now.
Yeah, if you and I were to write a check like that, we might have to move things. Maybe don't cash that till Thursday. You know, maybe I got to move things around first. Just hang on to that for a second.
You better adjust that decimal point, by the way, a little bit, if you and I write a check.
Mark, I would like to interview one of these billionaire donors. Seriously, and just be like, why? Because I would like to know, like, what goes in? Because I know it's not that much when you're a billionaire, but I'm just curious, because I've had so many texters like, I don't understand. They just want their team to win. Like, what is it about donating that big of money that makes them, you know, just kind of feel complete? I get it. It's coming from the right place most of the time, but it's just fascinating to me.
Well, look at the help me out here. The number one quarterback came out last year for Michigan, Underwood.
Yeah.
You know, the guy that wrote that check is not even a Michigan grad, okay? But his wife was. And I talked to some of my buddies in Michigan. I'm like, explain that to them. And he said, well, the story goes that his wife said, you know, honey, I'd really like my football team to be really good. He's supposed to be a really good player, so maybe you could help us out here. And so he wrote the check.
Wow.
It's stunning. I'll keep this very anonymous, but there's another program that has got a guy that's running a lot of checks right now. And when I was talking to somebody from the school, I said, that guy's not connected to your institution, is he? And he said, no. But one of the assistant coaches was a buddy of his, and he started following the team, and then he wrote some checks. And then the buddy who was the assistant coach, he retired, but he kind of liked the university, and he kind of likes, you know, getting treated special and getting great seats and being on the team playing every once in a while. So he's a billionaire. He's writing checks for him. He gets a kick out of it. So I guess when you've got that kind of money, it gives you a chance to play. And so you find some place, you kind of get a kick out of being for a little while. And, you know, if it's going to cost me a few million dollars, if I've got 50 billion anyway, and I can spend 15, 20 million a year just for fun, I guess that's what you do. I mean, I know it's foreign to you and me and everyone listening, but apparently that's part of life when you're living in that tax bracket.
Yeah, I need different friends, because if I could find some billionaires that were just like, hey, I like Brady because he's cool, here's some money, that would be awesome, just for being cool.
Hey, listen, you and everyone listening has been thinking all along, you know, if one of these guys would just give me a million or two.
Right. I mean,
it's not much to them, but it would change my life. Yeah, we can never seem to find those kind of guys.
No, I'm still looking, Mark. I'm still looking. Yeah, if you find them, let me know.
I certainly will, and you can stand for me.
Mark, appreciate you, man. Good luck on the call tomorrow night. We'll be tuning in. Are you a radio call or ESPN Plus tomorrow night for you?
No, we're on TV tomorrow night.
Okay.
So, yeah, Dallas up on ESPN Plus, and Scott and I will be there.
I love it, man. You do phenomenal.
By the way, we're going to have the athletic director, new athletic director, is going to join us for a few minutes. The producer just told me here a few minutes ago.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah.
I have to say, Mark, every time I have you on, I get people compliment, and they'll say, man, Mark just has a phenomenal voice. I love listening to him. It makes me sound like crap when you're on my show, by the way. I mean, I have a decent voice, but then you come on, and it's like, who's that little squeaky teenager interviewing Mark Johnson?
You know, here's the dang thing about it. I have nothing to do with it. I woke up one day and there it was. So it was. It's like somebody being 7 feet tall. You have nothing to do with it. The good Lord just blessed you in that regard. And so I always tell people it was either do what I'm doing right now or work the drive-thru McDonald's. One of the two. That's all I'm qualified for.
Well, you're also like 7 feet tall, too. So you got that going, too.
Well, I'm not big enough to be making millions in college athletics.
Mark, appreciate it, man. Looking forward to the call tomorrow night. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mike, if you were hired as a football coach, what's your opening line at a press conference? What's your opening line? What would you say?
Thanks.
That would be it.
Thanks for hiring me.
Because nobody else would.
I would do the speaking of bad endings to shows, I would do the Walking Dead line from Rick.
We're going to win.
That's what you do. I would do the opposite, just to throw everybody off.
Sorry, like, guys, we're going to suck.
You know,
this
when
year.
Coaches come on and they're like, we're going to fight. Like what Steve Adazio, you know, here's this ram horn, and this, when we make a fist and these rams come together. I would just do the opposite. I'd be like, listen, guys, there's a good chance we don't win a game next year because it's 50-50 right now. But the AD was willing to spin the chamber, and here I am. So let's get to work. That's what I would do. You think that would go over well with fans? Just go completely opposite. You know, I can't tell you we're going to fight hard because I don't have a roster yet. I don't know any of the guys. I don't know. We might be good. We might be terrible. That'd be refreshing. I don't think it would go over well.
No, it wouldn't.
Probably not. 37.
You would definitely be coaching at Division III.
Yeah, yeah. But it would be unique, and it would make headlines. And people would be, there might be a billionaire. It's like, you know what? I like how honest he is. I like that guy. Here's $1 billion. Go build that roster. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.